like you're saying, I think that applies to life a lot too. Yeah. Like, yeah, follow the guidelines.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't feel right for you.
Yeah.
And if it's not, if something is in there that you're like, this doesn't feel right for me, I'm going to deviate from that and I'm going to work on what does feel right.
All right, cool. All right, Chelsea, second time's the charm.
Yeah, we got it.
And for those, I want to say one thing up front real quick. We've known each other for a long time, mm-hmm. at least been acquainted. And I know your family, you know my family. So this is a really special, I love doing these interviews when people knew me as like a little kid.
Yeah.
And then they come back. It's trippy for me, but I bet it's also trippy for you.
Well, it's a little different because I was the older, right? Like.
Oh, that's right.
I was a little bit older than you. You're my brother's age. And I babysat you. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And your sisters. And I yes. like on the drive down here, I'm like, I can't remember how many. I think it was the three of you and baby at the time.
Yeah, so there's five of us now.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So yeah, it's really fun getting to see people as adults and see them in what they're doing, what they're loving. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have that experience with anybody else that you babysat? I remember you all over. Okay.
Yeah, not yet anyway.
Well, New Mexico is kind of
right,
crazy.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. That's so cool. Well, that's great. So now, because now you're here in Utah, you're doing some really cool things on social media, being in content and being in baking.
Yeah.
And now tell me, we talked about this before, but I want to go over it one more time. How you kind of stumbled into this, like
sure.
It wasn't always your plan to do it, but tell me how you like got into the baking and content creation.
Okay. Yeah. So it started off. That I moved here. We moved here in December. I needed something to do with my small babies, and me and my daughter just kind of took off baking together. And I noticed how much joy it brought her, and it brought me a lot of joy having her in the kitchen with me and like actually having her involved in the baking process. And I've always baked. It's always been a huge part of my life. I feel very connected to my mom, to my grandmas that way, and I really wanted that sense of connection for my children too. So with my Isla, my daughter, it was just a way to have something to do during the cold winter months, something to do during those months. And then as Theo, my son, is growing, or he's also involved in it and he's loving it. And so that's how it really kicked off for us, is just as a hobby. And mm-hmm. then I kind of noticed, I did a lot of research. I noticed that I love following recipes, but what I really, really love is creating my own. I loved the opportunity of building something from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started learning about food science. I started learning about recipe development. I started looking into Esquire Food and Culinary Arts School.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of backtracked from there, and because it was like $20,000 and I'm a stay-at-home mom. And I was like, all right, probably not the right path.
Yeah.
But that even got me into looking into more things and finding like things like the Bite Shot or the Rusted Ladle. And these women made these businesses just off of food photography. And so I was like, I'm in, I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep doing recipe development. I'm going to bang off of food photography and see where it goes from there.
Yeah. So you do like a lot of food photography?
I do it. Yes. I mostly do it for me and for my blog, mm-hmm. but I also work with brands. I just worked with Baker's Secret and I work with Harmon's here in Utah.
Oh,
and
dang.
So, yeah. I create recipes for them and take food photography for their social media content.
Wow. That's crazy. So I know the little bit I know about food science.
Sure.
Where do you start when you're looking at creating a recipe, developing mm-hmm. a recipe? Where do you start?
Okay. It kind of depends. Where I start anyways is, what do I want this to be? Let's start with a cookie, okay? Do I want this cookie to be thick and gooey? Do I want it to have a crust on the outside? Or do I want it to be flat and crispy? Or, you know, like, what do I want out yeah. of this cookie? What experience do I want to have with this cookie?
That's crazy.
I love that aspect of it because everybody has different tastes, right? Like, your cookie, you're like... phenomenal cookie may not be my favorite cookie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally fine. That's why we have so many cookie joints around here in Utah, right?
Yeah.
Everyone has their favorite.
Yeah.
But if you want, let's say the thick, gooey, and a crust on the outside, you have to know what ingredients work together to get that. So your ratio on granulated sugar to brown sugar's got to be a little bit different. You got to know how many eggs to egg yolks you're going to put in, how much butter, flour, you know, you have to know all these things and kind of work
crazy.
With it. It's pretty cool. And it's funny how just changing one thing can really tweak a recipe to be something completely different.
So when you're selling this to companies and we're trying to come up with a recipe.
Sure.
Do you take them through that process?
Sometimes. Sometimes they give me full creative control, which is the best. I feel like that is my favorite. That with Harmon's, for example, the gal that I work with, her name is Sky. She said, I want to push out citrus fruit. Here's all the citrus fruits that we want to do. You come up with something. And so I came up with three recipes and I sent them back to her and I was like, what do you think? She's like, this one. Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I think the emotional part of it is mostly what I sell clients on is, you know, what do you want your people to think of whenever they see you? What kind of recipe are they looking for? Something quick and easy that they can whip up in 20 minutes? Or is it something that is going to take a little bit more time, but it's like a decadent wow dessert when they like put it on the table, you know?
Yeah. So my wife likes to make cakes like that. And those gourmet, like a party cakes or whatever.
Yes.
And those are crazy. Mm-hmm. I've seen some gnarly ones. What's interesting and why I asked you about taking your clients through that process is because it's so interesting that you would never think about that. Like I would never think about that. The first thing was somebody asked me for a recipe. The first question I would not think to ask is the experience, but it's interesting that you said that because when I talk to, so one of the things that I do is I like train salespeople and I train salespeople in every industry, but it's always interesting because, you have to start there. Like when you're selling something,
right?
Because you know, you want the emotional experience or that experience to be there.
Yeah.
And so it's super interesting that you can do that with food and with recipes.
Oh, for sure. Food is like one of the best things that you can connect to almost immediately, right? Like you think of your favorite recipe out there and the emotion tied to that. And where does that take you? Like, you know, and that's one thing that happens to me when I'm baking and I like take a bite and like, it's nostalgic. It reminds me of grandma's kitchen, but it's updated. And it reminds me of my kitchen and what my kids can take from it or what a brand can take from it and kind of make their own.
Yeah. So. Do you know what kind of, you work with food brands?
Yes.
Mainly. So like restaurants. Do you ever work with like other content creators?
Sometimes you can collaborate with other content creators. Yeah.
But like making their own,
a
signature, like whatever.
Like someone that I follow or whatever.
Yeah. Be like, hey.
I do actually. Yeah.
Be like, hey, let's collab and do like the, so cause Dirty Dough, I work for Dirty Dough, the cookie company.
Yeah.
We did that for a little bit.
Okay.
We like take influencers and have like the influencer cookie.
Yes. Yep.
And then have them push that. And it was like their own signature cookie.
Right. Yeah.
That's sick.
I know. That would be so much fun too. It would be fun. Cause it's fun to just like have a piece of yourself out there. Right. Like,
yeah.
I'm connected to this, but
yeah.
Yeah.
When I served a mission, the missionaries went to this one drink spot. What is it? It's like Swig, I think. Swig, okay. You know, Swig. Have you ever seen on Swig's menu, the missionary?
No, I don't think I have.
So I think it was on a menu. It might not be anymore, but we had these missionaries who went to Swig every, like whatever day it was, like every other day or something. They would always order the same drink, but it wasn't on the menu. And so they finally got it put on the menu.
Yep.
And that's just kind of cool. Like you have your own menu item.
Yeah.
Like you're like, we went there so much. Yeah. Like that's unhealthy.
That is now a part of the menu.
That's pretty cool. And so when I was just thinking about that, I was like, there's a lot of really cool things that you can do with that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. So what I mainly focus on is, I work with brands. So like if a chocolate brand needs to push out a brownie or something like that. Like I just got a collaboration with Hue Kitchen, which is a chocolate bar basically, but it's all organic. It's vegan. It's keto, you know, it's all these things.
And that's awesome. I'm not sure how you do that, but that's dope.
It's awesome, right? But my goal is to make something out of it that's going to, again, bring that emotion of like, oh, I'm sitting down for a cookie or a brownie or, you know, whatever. And I know this is going to be good. And I also know that I'm being a little bit more healthy. Like, you know, you want to feel good also while you're eating this. You want to have
a
moment. Yeah.
Have you experience with a lot of recipes like outside of the United States?
I haven't. No.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
I was just curious to see what the difference is between baking like in and baking out.
Sure. Yeah. I do like some of the recipes that I grew up doing, like bizcochito cookies or something.
Oh
like
yeah.
That,
okay.
From,
yeah.
Like But my mom did that, right? Like, so I know how to do it because yeah. she did that. But
yeah.
other than that, no, it's...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there was no point to that other than it was just curious. Yeah, yeah, just curious. But when you're... You brought up like keto and stuff.
Mm, yeah.
And you do a lot of baked goods. Mm-hmm. So how does keto and baked goods work? Or does it work?
I've seen
keto bread and I'm a little skeptical.
You're like, oh.
I don't know if that's real.
You know what? I have not dived into the food science there.
Yeah.
I don't claim to be gluten-free or egg-free sure. or any kind of anything. My content is full indulgence, although I'm not... against any
yeah,
of
sure,
that,
sure,
you know,
sure. it's yeah, just, yeah, yeah. It's just everybody's preference.
Yeah, exactly.
But you what? Yeah, you go old school.
Yeah, I do. Like sugar and butter and
yeah,
eggs.
And lots of it and lots
and
of
lots
it.
Of it.
You said something earlier that kind of tripped me out. You said egg yolk to egg white
oh,
ratio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what the heck is that?
Okay.
Because so, I just break an egg in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Most people do, right? Like, yeah, you're yeah, like, yeah, this yeah, is yeah. an egg and now yeah. it's in. So eggs are really crazy cool. They're really cool. They hold something like... I don't know, 60 different types of proteins in the whites alone. Wow. So it's okay. I'm
yeah,
getting
nerd
ahead
out.
Of
Let's
myself.
Go.
Sorry. The egg whites hold a lot of water. The egg yolks hold a lot of fat. So if you're wanting something to be a little bit more gooey or chewy or fudgy, you want more egg yolk. If you yeah, want okay. it to be a little bit more crispy, you want more egg white.
Okay.
So if you're thinking of like a brownie again, you probably want to add some more egg yolks to egg white ratio. And then, okay, now I'm getting more into the food science.
Mm-hmm.
Once you add your eggs, so when you're baking, you usually do all your wet ingredients first, right? So you okay. put sugar, butter, and then you cream it with the eggs. You're activating those proteins, and they're going to unwind themselves and then bind back to each other in different ways. So they're forming new molecular structures to make something new.
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, even if you were to crack an egg in a pan, right, uh-huh. it would fry and be pretty flat. Like, you'd have that flat white egg yolk or flat white part and then the yolk, right?
Yeah.
But if you were to scramble it and it's fluffy,
yeah.
It's like the exact same thing. So all you did was change the molecular science of it.
That's crazy. Yeah, because that would trip me out. Because even like you get the box stuff, right? You just throw it.
Right. Yeah.
But that's interesting. And stuff you don't think about. Like one thing that tripped us out, that tripped me out, was when we were selling you're good. When we were selling the cookie franchises.
Mm, yeah.
Like I knew this, but I forgot. But like, you cook different at different altitudes.
Oh.
And I didn't know that. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh yeah, 17 minutes. We had some guy in Arizona. He's like, yeah, ours doesn't take 17 minutes. I was like, I know
altitude.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I remember why. So yeah. Anyway, he didn't get in any trouble because like somebody way smarter than me caught that before me. But he's like, hey, just a reminder. I was like, oh yeah, you're totally
yeah.
right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like cooking in Iowa isn't the same as cooking in
it's
Utah.
So true.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah.
even when we first moved here, I was like, why are my muffins failing? Every single time I'd make a muffin, it would fail.
Yeah.
And baking soda. If you have too much baking soda at a higher altitude, it rises too fast and falls. So you'll have like a sunken bread. So you need to have enough time to rise slowly so that it can build structure and then relax back. So yeah, it's crazy.
That's trippy.
I know.
Okay. That's yep. crazy. You're blowing my mind, but you're probably not blowing anybody who's listening because everybody's a little smarter than me.
No.
That's all right though. But I want to talk about your experience as a content creator now.
Okay.
So going through, what was it like for you going from like starting to gain followers you didn't know? What was that experience like for you?
It's kind of wild. It's like yeah. really cool in some ways and really like, oh my gosh, what's happening in yeah. some ways, you know? I remember seeing... When you first start, you have all these people that you put on a pedestal, right?
Yeah.
Like all these people, I want to be friends with them. I want them to notice me.
Yeah.
And then they start to notice you and you're like, I want more, you know, like it's kind of like a drug. Like I want this person to notice me now
yeah,
too. So yeah,
yeah,
it's a little, it's really cool in that sense. You like connect with people and it's really fun to bounce ideas off of other people or mm-hmm. even like pitch things to them and be like, hey, I'm having a problem with this brand. Can you help me? Like, what would you say in this situation? And they'd be like,
yeah.
oh yeah. Like, let's just talk about it.
Yeah.
But then when you have someone that's like in Australia that follows you, you don't know them at all.
You're like, well, that's wild.
Yeah. It's so crazy. It's
that is
really
weird.
Cool how the world is connected that way.
Yeah. It's a very strange experience too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I get, like I prefer like LinkedIn and YouTube.
Yeah.
But it is trippy when you get, I think the craziest thing, let me ask you this. What was the craziest thing that you experienced, you know, putting out your first viral video or putting out like a viral piece of content? Like what surprised you the most?
Do you mean like, what was it that hit me kind of?
Or yeah. Well, like when you saw like the numbers, was it the people commenting?
Yeah, I think it's the numbers, which is such a trippy game.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it's so weird. But yeah, the numbers I think is really cool. And again, it's weird because it's never enough, right? You're like, I need more.
You're like, how do I make this? Yeah, I've interviewed some gnarly, I mean, I have a modest following. Like, it's not crazy. More people listen than on social media. But I've interviewed lots of people who have 9 million followers on TikTok. Like I've seen these people out there. It's just, it's wild.
It's wild.
What it was for me though, the negative comments. Do you ever experience those?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this a lot. I don't know if I just don't dive into my comments deep enough.
Okay.
Or if I just am oblivious to it. Whatever. But yes, I do experience negative comments, and it's weird for me when people come back to me and be like, hey, this recipe didn't work for me. What happened? I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, you tell me. What did you do this? Did you do this? You know, and not to blame them or anything like that. But I take it as a personal attack. I'm like, wait. Like, yeah, I know what I'm doing.
I hear you.
And I have to remind myself, like, they might be living in Arizona, and there might be some, like, maybe they cooked it at too high of a temperature. Maybe we need to tweak that. Or maybe they needed more flour or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's one thing I like to approach a lot and tell people that baking is a recipe. It's a large part of the recipe. It's also intuition. You have to know, like, this dough looks a little too wet.
Interesting.
Probably need to add something to it.
That's interesting that you say that, because I had an experience over the weekend. We were in a room with like just some crazy high net worth individuals. Like, when I say high net worth, I'm like talking like one guy had a hedge fund, 20 billion with a B. Wow. I don't even know how much money that is. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what that looks like. Then we had another guy who was there. I mean, we had three or four guys with their wives, couples there who were just like extremely wealthy. And this one guy was going around everywhere, and he was a motivational speaker. Mm. And he talked about life being, or like anything you want to do in life is a recipe. Mm. And he was like, a recipe is agnostic to like the color of your skin, your gender, all this stuff. And that was a really good point. But what you just said there was really interesting, because that's what I've experienced.
Yeah.
Is like, it is a recipe, but you got to like think about it for a second, because you're going to have to make, is there ever a time when you have to like, I don't want to say deviate from the recipe, but you're like, maybe that's not it. Maybe I got to throw something in there.
Yep. A lot.
In a recipe, I see all the time, like salt to taste.
Oh, I hate when recipes say that.
Why?
Well, I hate when baking recipes say that.
Yeah.
Or they say like just a dash of salt. And the reason and you're like,
what the hell's a dash?
Yeah, exactly. everybody has a different size pinch. Like, we need the measurement here. But like when it comes to cooking, I feel that, like, yeah, you can just salt to taste or like figure this out.
But
right? But
you said a lot of intuition, a little bit of intuition. What do you mean?
Intuition. So again, I think it comes back to like, if you've made cookies before, let's say you've made cookies one time before, mm-hmm. and you saw the texture of that cookie dough, and then you're making it again and you're like, this looks not right.
Yeah.
You have to like listen to that intuition. If something is telling you it's not right, then it's not right.
Yeah. It doesn't look right.
Right. Exactly.
Now, why do you think that happens?
Why do I think a recipe?
Like, like it looks different. You're like, I did everything the same, but now something's not weird.
So many things can happen. Your flour could be too old. You have a different type of flour that has like all-purpose cake flour, bread dough flour. All of them are so different and they hold different protein.
That is unbelievable.
There's so many things. If you don't follow a recipe that says AP flour and you put in bread flour, you're going to have a like more bread-like consistency to whatever you're making.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be that. But like I said, if your flour has been sitting in the pantry for too long,
you could have the exact flour that you need.
Yep.
But if it's been out there too long.
If it's been too old, or even on the day, like maybe sometimes during the day or different times of year, excuse me, is what I'm trying to say. It can be too dry. And so your flour sucks up the moisture too fast. And it's going to just be harder. Again, if it's a cookie, you're going to have a harder cookie.
Yeah.
If you have a more moist day, you're going to need more flour. Like, there's so many things. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many things to baking. And I think that's what puts people off to it. They're like, well, I can't succeed, so why try? But I'm like, follow your intuition then. If you know that doesn't look right, it doesn't look right. That's okay.
Then you just need to go back and figure it out.
Yeah.
And see, because that's what's always like, that's real life to me. Mm-hmm. So when I hear, and this gentleman, there was nothing wrong with what he was saying. I think that if that's where you started, you're going to be in a way better spot than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, you know what this is, right? But there is that part where you're just like, you've got to like listen and like figure, like, you know, that's not right. And what's crazy to me is like, the people, because I've interviewed tons of business owners, mm-hmm. and what's crazy to me is like all of the books that we buy that are like, what's the secret to success? I've actually found that they're like, I don't know, I could be full of crap, but I feel like I have a little bit more than most people.
Yeah.
But like, I figured out that there's a real like no recipe.
Right.
In my opinion.
My opinion too. I'm on the same page as you.
Yeah. You're like, you just got to work, I think, is maybe recipe, everything is ingredient number one. And then like, you got to be ready to like fly. Yeah.
I think so too. I think that, like you're saying, I think that applies to life a lot too. Yeah. Like, follow the guidelines.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't feel right for you.
Yeah.
And if it's not, if something is in there that you're like, this doesn't feel right for me, I'm going to deviate from that and I'm going to work on what does feel right.
Yeah.
I say that all the time, especially I'm going to alter my brain a little bit to moms.
Yeah.
Talking to any mom friends, like, you know, there's so much information out there about how to be a better parent in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
So take what resonates with you and leave behind the rest of it. Like, you don't need all of that.
Yeah.
Take what's working for you in this moment.
I heard a quote about parenting that was like, your goal as a parent is just to, it is not to like, what was it? Hold on. I'm not going to get the quote. I'm going to abandon the quote real quick, but give you the idea, which was like every generation like puts our kid through some kind of trauma.
Oh, sure.
So like, don't worry about not giving your kid trauma.
Right.
It's just like, we all try to traumatize our children a little less than we were, or different.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's just inevitable. Like, try not to do it the same.
Well, you're just like, I don't know. Cause there's a whole spectrum, right?
Oh, for sure.
And it's like, we didn't do the same thing. But then I think if you figure out, if you try to force it, that's when things start to go wrong.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
And you're like,
life,
baking,
like all the things.
Yeah. I've been on this kick, but, when you're working with recipes mm-hmm. and you're creating these things, can you ever tell when you're like trying to force it?
Oh yeah.
Like, I'm forcing it too hard. Like, this shouldn't be this hard.
Yes. Oh yeah, for sure.
What do you do?
I ditch it mostly.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
I'm just like, well, it's not working.
Right.
So let's try again.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have pushed through and be like, okay, I just want to see like, I've created it. Now I need to like prove to myself that it's not going to work. And it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
I put it in the oven and it's like, okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Like, it didn't work. I see.
Yeah.
But no, you need that. But that's an interesting kick that I've been on, is like having to like talking with people. If there is a couple ingredients to success that you can mix in however you want, I would say one of them is like, don't force it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because
100% agree.
It's like, bro, you're forcing it. Like, I can tell when a piece of content from another creator, like a podcast from another creator mm-hmm. that I enjoy, was like, yeah, homie, that I know what you're doing, but that wasn't it. And I could feel it.
Yeah.
And he could feel it.
Yeah.
And so we both call each other and we're like, you know, I'm calling, right? He goes, yeah, I know what you're calling.
But it's so interesting. People know when you're authentic to yourself, right?
Yeah,
I feel like that speaks volumes. You can apply this to anything. But when I'm not being authentic to myself and what I want to create, it shows in the kitchen so much. Like, it just feels like everything is a flop. And I'm like, it's because I'm not tapping into what I like. I'm trying to appeal to what someone else I think would like instead of just being me.
Very interesting piece of sales advice that I give to people too, is that's true no matter what.
Sure.
Right. Like, if there's 100 million salespeople in the world, mm-hmm. like, what makes you different?
Yep.
And it's you.
Yeah.
Like, my personality.
Exactly.
And not everybody's going to want to buy from me. And you got to be super cool with that. That's a hard one.
Yeah, it is. And I feel like that's the same on social media, whether mm-hmm. you're doing baking, podcasts, like whatever. Again, it comes back to, you're going to resonate with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Your most authentic self is going to resonate with someone, and they're going to want to follow along because you made them feel something, right? Like, you were kind of saying that at the beginning, it all comes back to emotion, and like, the best sales is what you're giving to the other person, like the why, right?
Yeah. Like, I always tell people, salespeople, like, you got a better deal than me.
Sure.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I got some paper.
Yeah, exactly.
you got whatever, right?
Right.
And it's just interesting. Like, I think it's fun to talk to other creators who have this because you can tell. And that's why have you heard of the UGC stuff, mm-hmm. like user generated stuff?
Yeah.
I feel like that's why businesses are kind of taking more of the UGC. But it's got to be like, but then it's so crazy because I hear brands like, no, this is our script we want you to use. And you're like, is this UGC or is this you hiring me as a marketer?
Sure. Yeah. No, I know. It's a very fine line. And I think UGC is such a good way for quick money. And I think that's what you got to think about. But you also have to think like, how often do I need quick money? Like, or is this, am I being authentic to myself? That's what I'm trying to say is like, is it worth me giving up my authenticity to have quick money?
Yeah.
And maybe the answer is yes. Like, and that's fine. That's totally fine. Yeah.
No
judgment. Yeah, exactly.
I don't shame anybody for getting money.
Oh yeah. Whatever. You make
whatever
money,
you gotta do, dude. Yeah. And if you can chameleon that, bro, whatever
for
you gotta
sure.
do.
Yeah.
But I know I understand. Cause it is true. Like I've seen creators, you know, that's why this podcast doesn't have sponsors anymore. Mm. Not that I was always pretty strict with the sponsors that we took.
Yeah.
But I just, as it grew, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Like, cause there's a, with this weird spot when you're growing in content
mm-hmm.
where you're like too new. Nobody wants you.
Yep.
You're like right there. And then some people want you and you're like, this is pretty dope. And then there's this spot between like, you know, Joe Rogan who can say no to anybody and I don't care.
Right.
You'll pay me to say whatever I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but you're also in between that. And then like, I really need this money.
Yeah.
So you're like, I can't turn away brands like that.
Yeah.
But I also, you know what I mean? But
oh,
I also
for sure.
need, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's a weird limbo.
Yep.
You know
it
what
is.
I mean?
Yeah.
But I think when you're authentic, I think all the money comes no matter what.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, again, I think that's when you just are pulling people in and that's what they're connecting to.
What was it like when you got your first dollar from somebody that, brought it like you found on Instagram or that like brand called you and they're like, hey, I saw your stuff. Like what was it like?
It's always really surreal. Even still, like the first time I was like, wait, like really? Like this isn't junk mail, right? Like, or you're not like, it's not scam, right? Like I'm going to give you my information and you're not going to like scam me. Right. So yeah, there's always like, I don't know if you're like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know where it comes from, but I'm always looking for the shoe to drop. Always.
Yeah. I think that's humans.
I think that's pretty natural. Right.
Yeah.
So the first time I got it, I was like, what's the catch? Like you're going to pay me, right? Like, okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. I think it's just kind of a little surreal.
It is. Yeah. And you're always skeptical, right? Because it, at least if you do it right, you're never expecting somebody to do that. But here's the trippy.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Here's the trippiest part though. And this was a cool example that I have a really good friend of mine. They do a podcast here. Shout out to Angel, other side of the beehive. But he's a heavy equipment operator.
Oh, okay.
Construction.
Yeah.
And he was and he got this job offer. We were talking at a bar one time. I don't drink. Not that anybody cares. Yeah. But we were at a bar and he was like, looking at this job. He's like, they're going to pay me a lot of money. He's like, but I don't get it. Like why anybody can do this.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, we were all just being buddies. Like I genuinely meant it. Like, no, dude, like you got to understand, like not everybody can do this. And he just didn't believe it. And then one day he comes back. He came back that, you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever, he took the job and he told his boss, he's like, I don't understand why you're doing this. Anybody can do it. And his boss did something crazy. He called over one of the new guys. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, he's like, come here and dig this in this thing. Right. And the guy was terrible.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird story about how this boss like had to prove to one of his employees, like you are worth what you're worth.
Sure.
It's like that. I think that's the trippiest when you, in this whole thing.
Yeah. But
it's like, imposter syndrome a little bit.
Yes.
You're like, nobody's, come on.
Yeah. Well, you're going to pay me to do this. Yeah. I think as you're saying that, as I started this, I was like, everybody bakes. Everybody knows how to make a cookie. Everybody knows how to make brownies.
Yeah.
But the more and more I got into it, I'm finding people don't. I know. And I'm not saying that to downplay anything, but I think I've come into more experiences where they're like, no, I didn't grow up baking. No, I didn't. Like, this wasn't something, this is not my story. And I have to constantly remind myself, like your friend, like, no, not everybody can do this. And nobody can do it the way I do it. And that's not saying like I'm not being,
no,
you know, I'm not like grandiose. I'm not this superstar baker or anything like that. But going back to the, like, I can explain it in a way that's going to make sense to someone that has never baked before.
Yeah.
Probably because the only experience I have is home baking, and then I can like add some science into it and be like, this is why it works or this is why it doesn't work.
Yeah. So I always enjoy talking to creators, kind of going through that transition of like being, you know, being new and then being like an expert. Like, yeah, I still get a little uncomfortable when people are like, oh, Dalton is a sales podcast expert. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that. But you know what I learned too, is that I've talked to a ton of people who want to do a podcast. They're like, I want to do a podcast. I want to do a podcast. I'm like, all right, cool. Here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I think if there's a recipe for it, you just got to do it. My thing, by the way, nothing to you, Mike, but this is just
probably,
but he goes, but no, I talked to people and I was like, you just got to do it. I think what holds people back. I've thought a lot about this. What holds people back is their fear of sucking.
Well, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, and not only just sucking, but sucking in front of people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I there's a great way to overcome that, but nobody will do it. The greatest way to overcome that is to go do a stand up.
Oh gosh.
Open mic it.
Yeah.
Open mic night. Go sing or like try to tell jokes.
Yeah.
That's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
Yeah, I think you'll get over it pretty quick though, in my opinion.
And you know what? No one will care either.
No, they'll forget. They're all drunk.
Yeah.
I've done a few open mics. That's how I've kind of overcome it. I was like, oh, you know what? It's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
People actually forget pretty quickly.
Oh, for sure. My biggest fear too, when I was starting, was people that I knew were going to see what I was doing and they're going to see me fail.
Trippy, huh? Yeah, I do.
And I don't want them talking about me or, you know, I don't want them, you know,
yeah.
And the truth is they're not talking about me.
Right. They're thinking about themselves.
Oh yeah. They're doing their life and what's important to them. And that's fine. That's fine.
I had the opposite.
Yeah.
I thought people were going to, cause like, I mean, after I moved away from New Mexico, when you knew me, like I was a turd. You know what I'm saying? I was a turd. And so like the fear that I had was like, people are going to see me trying to do some good stuff and trying to give back and then only remember
all the turds.
Yeah. The jackass that was in high school or whatever.
Yeah.
That was scary for me. I was like,
sure.
I was like, freak, I can't. I was like, they're going to call me Two-Face. They're going to be all this stuff. Right. And I was going to be like, I just had to do it anyway. Cause like, they're going to say whatever they want to say.
And that's so true. Yeah. And everybody, whether or not they have a good or bad opinion of you or whatever, it doesn't really matter. You know who you are, and that's all that matters.
I think so. I think that there is a crazy amount of like, there's a crazy battle that happens when you're trying to create content like that.
Oh, for sure.
Isn't that wild though?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And how do you balance like the, you know, being a mom, being a content creator, being a business owner, but also like all of that, like with your children.
Mm-hmm. Some days are just really hard. Some days I have to say I'm doing too much or I'm pushing too hard to like we were saying before.
Yeah. Like you're forcing it.
I'm trying to. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And mostly because I wanted to do this because it was a way to make something for myself, something to make me feel more alive.
Yeah.
But it was something that I could do while I was with my kids or that my kids could do with me or, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So if it's ever feeling too straining and I feel it, I'm like, okay, I got to step back for a second.
You got to let it go.
Yeah. You know, my kids are up right now. They want to play right now. Can this wait? Yes.
Yeah.
Can it not wait? No. Okay. So I have to figure out something for my kids to do.
Right. You got something to do.
Yeah.
I think that would be tough, right? Being a stay-at-home mom is crazy.
Yeah. Being a parent, I feel like, and I will say, like being a mom, there's always guilt. No matter what you do, you're going to have some kind of guilt put in there because you're not doing enough for your kids or you didn't spend enough time for them. Or like my daughter's learning to read right now. We didn't do reading time today. You know, we missed a day in the streak that we had for 12 days, you know, whatever, like whatever it is, there's always guilt added in there. And again, I try my hardest to be like, is this necessary? Is this helping me become better in any aspect? If the answer is no, then I need to leave it and just allow that to be that.
I think the coolest thing, the what helped me change my mindset around that? Because I think you just always have that, right? Like, yeah, as a parent, like, as a dad, I've always feel like I'm never good enough or whatever.
Sure.
But what changed it for me was something you said was the difference between like being content and being complacent.
Uh huh.
Like there's a semantic difference between those two, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to be content. The hardest part about changing for people that I've seen mm-hmm. is not being able to bounce back from when you mess up.
Oh yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that you made two really good points. The fear of starting and failing, and then the fear of I failed, I can't do it again. Like,
yeah.
And those two things will stop you from your dreams faster than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like I have to constantly tell myself that too, yeah. especially right now. Any creator will know this. The algorithm sucks. No matter what you're on, the algorithm yeah, treats you really good, and yeah. then it treats you really bad. And yeah. on those lows, you have to decide, why do I really do this? Like, what is the purpose yeah. of this? Is it for the views
yeah.
or is it for fulfillment? You know, like I ask yeah. myself all these things. Right now I'm in an algorithm slump and I'm like, I don't know how to get out of this. Like my Instagram I just wish so badly that it would just like me right now. I'm like doing all that, you know, anyways. Yeah. But then I have to pull myself back and be like, I'm doing this for me mostly. Right. The brands also understand the algorithm and they understand that sometimes it's really good and sometimes it's caca, you know, like sometimes yeah. you just have to bounce back from it and be like, hey, yeah. this didn't do that great. I want to make it up to you. Like, let's do this instead. I'll give you
whatever.
Yeah. I'll send some more photos over if that is going to help this connection with us. And, yeah. you know, just pick yourself back up, brush yourself yeah. off, think of new ways to pitch to the same brand so that you have a good relationship with them. So they're not just like, well.
What's funny about, I was just having this conversation. It's so funny how like there's times when one principle just hits home and mm-hmm. it doesn't matter who I talk to, it comes up. But it's this idea that we've come full circle.
Yeah.
Social media has come totally full circle
yeah.
between from like, it used to be that we'd post something and we'd stay pretty consistent with views and everybody, and they would show it because they wanted people to spend time on the platform.
Yep.
And now we've come full circle to where it's like brands and social media was a short-term game
yeah.
at the beginning.
Right.
And it's come full circle to everything else in life, which is a long-term game. Like you don't put a billboard up for one
yep.
month.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put a billboard up for 6 months, 8 months yep. to see any kind of, maybe you see
fruition
something
from it. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And so it's so funny that now like brands are working with creators mm-hmm. and they're like, if I get this 9 million followers, that's it. I'm in.
Yeah.
And you're not.
And you're
it
not.
Doesn't matter.
It's so
I know a guy right now. His name is London Laz. He's on TikTok, has mm-hmm. 9.5 million followers. Sometimes his views are in the millions and sometimes they're in less than 10,000.
Yeah.
And you're like, how does that even happen? You would think that they would at least push it to my followers.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Right.
And you're like, you cannot do a brand deal with a creator for one post.
Right. No, you can't.
It's a waste of money. If you want to flush $5,000 down the toilet.
Right. Then.
Then.
Fine.
Be ready for that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's
you.
Like, but it's like you got to play the long game.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what brands are missing, I think.
I think brands are missing it. But I think also creators are
missing
going
it.
Back. Yeah. They're too nervous to ask for more because A, they don't know their worth,
yeah.
and B, they're too scared to ask for more. But if you think about it, how much would it cost a brand to put, sorry, I lost my train of thought, but how yeah. much would it cost a brand to put it in like a magazine
yeah.
or on TV or in a movie or, you know, like yeah. whatever. It's going to cost them billions of dollars. Them paying you $5,000 for a post, that's like
yeah.
chump change. Like, okay, I'll do that.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
You have to do it like consistency. I think that's the word that I was looking for is like, you got to stay consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On both ends again. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to, yeah. For brands. And
When I did sponsorships and when I used to work, like I'll produce podcasts for some businesses. And when I worked with a few of the brands at the beginning, I was like, look, if you're not ready to commit to the podcast for 12 months, mm-hmm. I'm not the guy.
Yeah.
Go make your own podcast and quit after three.
Yeah.
But I was always just really upfront because I was like, look, you're not going to see anything.
Right.
You might see a spike at the beginning and then it's going to suck for a really long time. Yeah. And I tell them how I started podcasting. If no one listens to this, will you still do it?
Yep.
If the answer is yes, then we should do a podcast.
Yep.
If the answer is no, then you should hire a marketing manager.
Yeah, definitely.
And do some, you know what I mean?
And I feel like that's exactly what I was trying to say too with creators. Yeah. Like you have to, you getting a, let's say you have a reel that somehow just goes viral.
Yeah.
But if you don't have anything else for people to come on your page and be like, ooh, I want to follow, what's the point? Like, that one reel was really cool, but I don't have anything else I want to stay here for. So,
right.
And the same is true whenever you're pitching to a brand, like, hey, this is what I do. This is why I'm interested in working with you. They say,
Do you go out and find the brands you want to work
with? Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to like cold call them, cold DM them, whatever? Yeah,
for sure. Like, I think It goes both ways. Sometimes they find you, sometimes you find them. Yeah, exactly. I actually just signed up with an agent, so hopefully I won't have to do as much for myself anymore.
Sure.
So that'll be nice. I'm excited about that. That's definitely like one of the hardest parts is switching your brain back.
Yeah.
Like being a salesperson, being a creator, being a... You know, like, oh my gosh, I'm so mentally exhausted.
But that's why creators and small business owners make good salespeople. Cause I don't feel like there's a recipe for success. Like I've been selling for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like that's all I do. That's all I do.
Yeah.
That's all I've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's so funny when I hear like solo creators or like these guys, you'll be like, oh yeah, I cold DM people. And then I go to like the big sales. I'm in these big sales followings and they're like cold calling's dead relationship. And I'm like, yeah, please don't tell that to everybody else who's not in this bullshit group.
Right. Exactly. Because like
you have to DM, you have to reach out.
I think so too. And I think also it builds that relationship.
Yeah.
If you're wanting a long-term relationship with someone, you got to work at it a little bit, right?
Like, I mean, you got
to
find them.
Exactly. For example, this chocolate company, I've reached out to them 2 or 3 times before and crickets.
Yeah.
And so it would be so easy for me to be like, all right, well, they don't want to work with me. So
they probably just didn't see you.
Yeah, exactly. and that's so true. And you could take offense to that or you could be like, I'll try again then. That means I have a fresh piece of paper that I'm like, here I am again.
Yeah. That's so crazy because I do sit in these big sit with these jumbo sales leaders and they're like cold calling dead, relationship building and all this crap that I'm like, dude, you've got to do cold calls. You got to do cold emails. You have to follow up. You got to sell it yourself.
Yep.
And like who better to, and then here's what I don't like. I think this is my biggest pet peeve with business owners is when people will ask me like, hey, do you know any salespeople who will work on commission only?
Ooh.
And I go, yeah, I do actually. Your CEO.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, I don't have a CEO. I'm like, who is it? They're like, it's me. I'm like, there you go.
There you go.
There's your non-commissioned salesperson. Because I'm like, when I'm talking to a new company, if you haven't closed 20 deals by yourself, you're not ready for a salesperson.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I can see that. I'm just thinking like, even on a small scale, I'm
like,
the only person.
How do you tell your agent like who you look for? These are the brands I want to work with. These are the, how much money they normally make. These are the followings I want to work with. How do you know any of that if you haven't sold to them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or know what's out there.
What they want to hear.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And bouncing things off, again, I mentioned this before, but bouncing things off of other creators being like, hey, I see that you did this collaboration with so-and-so. How much did that cost you?
Yeah.
We have to get over this fear too of like money talk. Like,
oh, for sure.
There's always this like stigma of like, oh. Like,
don't tell them how much you're spending.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
but especially for creators, we've got to know because there's no rule out there.
I don't sign up for that either.
Right. Yeah.
When people are like, we don't discuss pay. I'm like, cool, then I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the point then? I was like, why am I, I'm not in this for you. Dude.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to put all my hard work into it
Are you kidding me? No, I'm good. Yeah. But yeah, it is the Wild West out there for creators and for like brand deals and stuff like that. It is kind of just like,
it's all new terrain.
I talked with a really good friend of mine. Her name's Tyler Bender. She's on TikTok, Instagram. She's got a pretty large following and she says kind of the same thing. It's just like the Wild West out there.
Yeah.
It's like freaking go get your paper and hope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hopefully it comes back. But
no, I think
I think that's crazy. She's incredible.
Yeah.
I work with another creator. She hosts the Mamahood podcast.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-hmm. I have. Yes, I have.
Maren Drew Bay and Aubrey, whatever. Ooh, I don't know. Sorry, Aubrey. But the Mamahood podcast. Yes, my really good friend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, her husband is working with me on a project right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But yeah, they're a big podcast. I talked to her about some of her stuff. They got wild following over there.
Yeah. It's amazing. It really is amazing. I can't wrap my mind around it because I don't do it, but podcasts, I think it goes back to saying that it's not too saturated. No, nothing is too saturated right now. Mm-mm. Again, if there's something that you're passionate about, I think there's a market for it.
Well, there's no difference. A podcast and a blog, in my mind, there's no difference.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Well, here's why.
Yeah.
How many blogs are there in the world?
Billions? Yeah. At least billions.
Yeah. Okay. Do you know how many podcasts there are in the world?
Oh, I'm sure millions, maybe.
Yeah, less.
Yeah. Okay.
The podcast, the number of podcasts that produce a podcast consistently and consistently to Apple is once a month at least.
Okay.
Once a month?
Yeah.
That number, it goes from a couple million down to like 800,000 podcasts worldwide who post once a month.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah. Opportunity. That's it.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to post once a week. If you post an episode once a week, you're in the top 1% of podcasts.
Wow.
Yeah. Now like listeners are a different story.
Sure.
But think about how the potential that you have though.
Yeah.
To go onto YouTube. Then you look at YouTube channels.
Oh yeah.
That post consistently.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
You're crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Like people who think like, podcasts are saturated, YouTube saturated, this is saturated, foodies, food bloggers, anything. Whatever.
Right. Exactly.
Like you're crazy, man.
There's always a market
crazy.
There.
I've been doing this podcast and I've done it long enough to where I've seen podcasts start up and quit.
Yeah.
In the time that I've done mine.
Wow.
Cause I'm just like, what happened, dude? Where's your podcast, dog? I want to be on. They're like, I don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, what happened? And there's a different story for everything, but I'm like,
And I'm interested. I'm like, well, I want to know.
Dude, I'm like, come on, man, we got to do this. But anyway, I'm really grateful that you came on. That was a great story.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love it. Tell everybody where they can follow you before I let you go.
Priceless Bakes, pretty much anywhere. PricelessBakes.com, on Instagram, on TikTok.
Oh, heck
Facebook. Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Thank you so much, Chelsea.
Thanks so much.